Hi, this is Josh Burke, the Executive Director of the Bethlehem Area Public Library, and you are listening to Beyond the Stacks, the BAPL podcast. My guest today is children's author Paul Acampora. Paul is a resident of Allentown, one of the many fine writers here in the Lehigh Valley. And like we did last year, we're going to have Paul in today to talk about some of the best books of the year. It's that time of year where we look at the best of the year list. There's all sorts of lists out there. It's early December, so it's a good time to start doing your holiday shopping. And so Paul is a children's author, has written for young kids as well as young adults, and he has a lot of books for different possible recipients of your gifts this holiday season, or books that maybe you just want to check out yourself. There's lots of great books being written for kids and young people out there today. So first of all, hi, Paul.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. Real quick, let's plug your books. Paul had a book come out this year that I really enjoyed. Why don't you tell everyone
sure.
about it?
It was called Confusion is Nothing New. It was a middle grade book about a girl's search, sort of a mystery, a girl's search for her mom, who is a deceased lead singer of an 80s cover band, because I love 80s music and I like mysteries, and it's done real well. So that's been an exciting year for me to have that out there.
It's got a lot of Cyndi Lauper in it.
Love Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, nice. That's for the Cyndi Lauper lover on your gift by Paul Acampora's Confusion is nothing new.
No,
got it.
And I can't remember the titles of my own book.
Check your notes. All right. Well, the yes, and Paul has a whole number of excellent, funny, and warm-hearted books for kids. So check out. I'll put a link to Paul's page on the blog. And so tell us about some of the books that came out this year. Not necessarily the best book of the year, but what's the first one you'd like to talk about?
Oh my gosh, I have a big list that I brought with me. Some are this year, some are the past couple of years, but there's a picture book that's just cracking me up this year. It's called We Don't Eat Our Classmates by Ryan Higgins, about a Tyrannosaurus Rex, five-year-old T-Rex that goes to kindergarten and has to learn that we don't eat our classmates. Mm. So for your young readers, I highly recommend We Don't, as a former kindergarten teacher myself.
That's right.
We Don't Eat Our Classmates.
That's a good lesson.
So I love that one. And then an oldie but a goodie, if you're looking for gifts, again, for young readers, especially like first, second graders, you can never go wrong with a box set of Winnie the Pooh. And there's always some new additions out there, but the classic, the A.A. Milne, just lovely. I loved those as a kid, and they're still wonderful.
Those have been in the front of people's minds, maybe because there's a new movie, right?
There was a movie about the real Christopher Robin, and but you know what? I don't care about him. I just love the books, and the books become about the readers, you know. So that's a real joy. So another fun book for some younger readers, some middle grade readers, is a graphic novel. Actually, it's a series called Kings of the Lunch Table by Frank Camuso. And it's, like I said, it's a graphic novel about a boy named Arthur, or Artie King. He's the new kid at Camelot Middle School, and he kind of wants to keep a low profile. But, of course, he's... It might have something to do with King Arthur.
Yes,
it's hard for him to keep a low profile. They're funny and they're lively, and I love graphic novels.
Is that a brand new book this year, or that's a new one?
There's a new one in the series this year. Yeah, I think there's three in the series so far, and Frank keeps them coming out, and they get better and better in every one. And then, of course, here in the Lehigh Valley, we have a wonderful, wonderful graphic novel artist and writer, Victoria Jameson. And I love her books. My favorite one of hers, well, it's not my favorite, but one that I read most recently, Roller Girl.
She's from here?
She lives in Easton.
What?
Yeah, you got to have her on the podcast, Josh.
I should. Hey,
so, yeah,
Victoria.
I just threw you under the bus.
One of our librarians dressed as Roller Girl for an event that we had.
She lives 4 minutes from here.
What?
So, Roller Girl.
Roll on in.
Yeah, come on. So, awesome. That's a good one, too. So that's a couple in the graphic novel category, but there's so many good ones now for graphic novels. But regular novels, again, middle grade stuff. Christopher Paul Curtis, who I love, has a new book out this year called The Journey of Little Charlie, set in mid-1800s South Carolina, before the Civil War, and a 12-year-old son of a white sharecropper has to join the plantation owner to go north to sort of recapture an escaped slave. And on that journey, the boy in that story starts to question, like, what am I doing here? What is it? This isn't property, this is people. And it's intense, but it's really beautiful.
He's a great writer.
Yeah. Oh, it's just another home run for him. And then another African-American story is, I got my list here, Varian Johnson's The Parker Inheritance. I don't know if you've read that yet.
I know of it.
Yeah, it's sort of part historical fiction, part, it's like, it's really inspired by the Westing Game. And it's set, it's a young girl and her mom moved for the summer to sort of rural South Carolina to discover sort of her family history and how her own grandmother and her grandmother's friends and classmates try to address what was a very racist community back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And now in a contemporary time, how those rules, if you will, still echo into the current time. It's a beautiful book, and the puzzle in it is really great. Pay attention to all the clues.
I think that a lot of us, The Westing Game was a really like important book for a lot of us.
Yeah. It's, I could never figure out the puzzle.
No, so. But I loved something about it, even though I'm not clever enough to figure out puzzles.
Well, my nice segue is that if you like puzzles and mysteries, again, for younger readers, my friend Jimmy Preller, do you know James Preller?
Uh-huh.
He writes the Jigsaw Jones series.
Oh, yeah.
And those are still fun, and he's still making new ones every year.
Doesn't he have another one that you recommended?
Oh, yeah. Last year was, he also writes standalone middle grade novels, The Courage Test.
Which yeah. I bought for my son after your recommendation,
good.
And he loved it.
That's excellent, yeah.
My family read a bunch of the books that you recommended last year. My son read The Courage Test, and my daughter read... Dory
Phantasmagory.
Yes. All those. She loved all of those.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, yep, you're batting up. I can testify that these are good recommendations.
All right. Awesome. So, let's see. Some other middle grade novels. There's a book by my friend Aaron Dion, you know, Lights, Camera, Disaster, about a young middle school girl who has a, she struggles with sort of a, attention deficit, focus, you know, challenge, but she's able to see the world well because she loves to make movies.
Hmm.
And in that process of making movies, she's sort of able to literally frame
yeah.
her experience. That's really good. Celia Perez's The First Rule of Punk, that's from 2 years ago, I think. I love that book.
I haven't read that one.
Oh, man. Highly recommended The First Rule of Punk. And then
that's for like an older teen reader or
middle grade reader, Mexican American family, a Mexican American girl and her mom moved to Chicago, and she starts a middle school punk band.
Oh wow!
And the fun part about it is in the true spirit of punk. None of them can play their instruments. They learn, and they learn how to become a band together, and which is more true than not in a lot of punk bands. And those first rehearsals, everybody just knows C, G, and A, and that's pretty much it. So that's awesome. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at my list. Well, Kate DiCamillo has a new novel, Louisiana's Way Home, which is it's not really a sequel. It's more like a companion to Rami Nightingale. And that's a beautiful book. Both books are just stunning. I love everything Kate DiCamillo does.
I like her a lot, too, but I haven't read those two most recent ones.
They're really heartfelt. They're emotional, but not saccharine.
Yeah.
And they don't...
Yeah, she hits that spot.
Yeah, they don't pull back. Like, they let kid readers and adult readers... have that experience, you know, that real emotional experience that is true. And she's just not afraid to hurt you, which is really cool.
You know what we really like in our house is the Mercy Watson books.
Those whole series is so funny and so fun.
Those are lighthearted.
Yeah.
Young, like really kind of the first chapter books a kid might read, maybe.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Yeah.
They feel good and
they
I
have
love
lots
the
of
pick.
They have lots of repetition, so all these things become like I don't know, catchphrases, like we, the kind of thing, like in our house, we just repeat them all the time.
And I love Mercy Watson. Mercy loves toast.
Yep.
Love buttered toast.
Buttered toast.
So as do I. All and right. That's why I'm shaped like a pig. So,
no, those, so.
Well, you know what?
Those books are great.
I'm gonna. That's a perfect segue for some nonfiction. And there's a new cookbook for kids this year. It's the Complete Cookbook for Young Chefs, and it comes out of the America's Test Kitchen. And I was flipping through it because we love to cook at my house. But a lot of cookbooks for kids are they're not really cookbooks. You know, they're like pictures and I don't even know what they are, but they're not cookbooks. And this is a cookbook. And it's
what's the title again?
The Complete Cookbook for Young Chefs.
Oh, okay, yeah, that
and,
sounds great.
So it's really good. It's for kids who love to cook. And whenever I do school visits, I often ask kids, like, who likes to cook? And always more than half the room raises their hand.
I wonder if they really cook at home, though.
Well, that's the thing, because a lot of us don't cook as
like
much as our parents used to. So
yeah, that's true. But I mean, my kids, if you ask them that to cook, they'd probably say yes. But if you asked them to cook at home...
Yeah, I don't know if you would eat that.
We love to watch a lot of those cooking shows, though, and stuff. So that's good family entertainment. So if
Master Chef Junior is my favorite cooking show.
We watch a lot of Chopped. Chopped Juniors would go on, too. So if kids like that kind of show, they would probably like this book.
Yeah, and then another nonfiction, just jumping over to a totally different category, is Pirates. And I love pirate stories. And I don't know what year this came out. It might be 2 years, but it's called... The Whydah, A Pirate Ship Feared, Wrecked, and Found by Martin Sandler.
Mm.
And the cool thing about it is it's true. So it's about a pirate. I wrote it, Black Sam Bellamy, who's the most successful pirate of all time that we know about. He put all the other pirates to shame. And the cool thing is this archaeologist found his ship off the beaches of Massachusetts with like $1 billion of gold jewels and everything in it. And everybody knew where the thing had sunk for, 300 years. Sunk in the 1600s, nobody could find it. And there was this one guy who was obsessed with the story, and he sort of made it his life's mission to find that ship, and he found it, and all the treasure that goes with it. And it's a really great read with the pirate maps and the gold and a story of how and why pirates. Really sort of came to be what we know, of them. And so, The Whydah, A Pirate Ship Feared, Wrecked, and Found. I love pirates.
Yeah, I think lots of kids do, too. Always a popular topic.
So, and then the other book that came out last year, a nonfiction book, I think it's like it's almost like a middle grade picture book, and it's called Some Writer, The Story of E.B. White.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's by a writer named Melissa Sweet. And, of course, it's about E.B. White, who wrote Charlotte's Web. And in terms of gift giving, it would be a great companion to give that book with Charlotte's Web. And for readers, for kids who either read them themselves, or it'd be a great book to share, with kids, because Charlotte's Web is such a great read aloud. If you read aloud to your kids, and you should, it gives you some insight into, how and why this book came to be. So because E.B. White had a farm and he loved the animals, but he wasn't under any illusion. He knew what happened to the animals, but he respected that whole, the circle of life.
He's a very wise person. I mean, there's a lot of his advice about writing that is great, and just the way he lived his life is inspiring. So
and of course, he's the white of Strunken White's. What's the grammar book?
Elements of Style.
Elements of Style.
There you go.
There's Elements of Style. So so those are some of the younger and middle grade book, but I brought a couple of YA books for teens that, that might be cool. Because I still read, even though I'm writing and reading a lot of middle grade, I love YA stuff. So
and people might wonder what to get for their teens in their lives. That can be a hard age to buy for.
Well, right now, I've just read Jarrett Krasoska's Hey Kiddo, which was a sort of a graphic novel memoir. His mom was a drug addict. He was raised by his grandparents in Massachusetts, not far from where I grew up in Connecticut. His family, very loving family. At the same time, sort of a real life family. Like, they didn't pull any punches.
Yeah.
And his memoir, growing up as a kid and then through his teenage years until finally he becomes a writer and an artist, really inspiring, just a very joyful, loving book, but a hard book too, yeah. about kids, you know, a real life person as a kid going through real life hard things. And I think it's important to remember, if you're in that spot, that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And if you're not in that spot, you need to look around at your friends and know that somebody's in that spot. So it gives you a opportunity to realize that the world can be a hard place sometimes.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that book. I think that one is on some of the year-end lists I've seen.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
recommended.
Yeah, Jared probably doesn't need a shout-out, but the book is that good.
Yeah,
the book
yeah.
is really that
we'll
good.
We'll give him one anyway.
So, yeah. the another graphic novel, a little older one, is Joe Kelly's I Kill Giants. There's also a movie version of it. So that's just a fantastic one.
Is that like a fantasy type story or?
Yes and no. So the main character is sort of it's almost a middle grade YA. The main character is like an eighth grade girl who's living out this fantasy in her mind that her role is to protect her community. She kills giants.
Mm.
But frankly, she's really dabbling in the area of emotional and almost mental illness.
Mm.
As she's trying to struggle with, I don't want to ruin the story, but she's struggling with some real hard real life situations.
Oh, wow.
And she's reinterpreting her real life into her fantasy world. And the movie is wonderful, and the graphic novel is just as good.
That
and,
sounds really
and
good.
Joe Kelly wrote the graphic novel with the hope that he could turn that into a movie, and he did. So
nice.
It was outstanding.
That's great.
Elizabeth Wien's book, Codename Verity, came out a few years ago about a teenage girl who ends up being a prisoner of war in World War II. She's tortured by Nazis. And I don't mean like play tortured. Like she is like really, really tortured. It's intense. But this year she came out with a nonfiction book called 1,000 Sisters, The Heroic Airwomen of the Soviet Union in World War II.
Oh, wow.
And just the men in World War II, there were so few men left from Russia because they were all killed.
Yeah.
They needed pilots. So they trained women how to be fighter pilots and bombers. And they were so feared. They were called night witches,
wow.
These women pilots. And the book is intense. I mean, it's a book of girls and women in wartime and who are driven to be both at their best and at their worst, because that's what war does. It brings out the best and the worst of us.
Wow.
And that's intense. And like I said, her book, Codename Verity, won every award there
was
to win a few years ago.
Outstanding.
And then an adult novel that I really loved this year, I gave to my daughter, who's a 18 or 19 now, I can't remember. But it's a book called Circe by Madeline Miller. And it's a retelling of the Circe Greek mythology. And the reason I gave it to my daughter is when she was in middle school, she loved the Lightning Thief books.
Mm.
Like, I mean, who doesn't love the Lightning Thief books and the retelling of Greek mythology? But Circe is an adult retelling of a Greek myth.
Wow.
So it's not for kids,
right.
But it's definitely for teens and mature teens who are like, gosh, I don't, you know, I'm not just getting that charge I got out of reading the Lightning Thief. There are still Greek mythology retellings that will ring your bell.
Yeah.
And but it's intense and it's very mature, and but it's really worth it. Madeline Miller. And I think she lives outside Philadelphia. She's had a couple of Greek myth retellings. So those are a few, you know, that I just loved this past year. I forgot one. May I?
Absolutely.
So Wendy Mass and Rebecca Stead worked on a book together called Bob, about a girl who goes to visit family in Australia and meets a magical creature named Bob.
Mm.
And it's a very simple book, middle grade, but it's so sweet. And the idea that two unbelievably talented writers were able to give each other room to tell a story
together.
Yeah, they're
both really great.
Yeah, and just a real, real beautiful book. And one more nonfiction book that I love. Do you know the Atlas Obscura? So the Atlas Obscura is this weird, crazy, big, fat coffee table book. It's like The Book of Weird Things. Mm. And there's an adult. And there's a website called the
Atlas. Yeah, I think I've heard of the site. Yeah.
So there's a kid's version of the Atlas Obscura this year. So I'll be giving that away to especially the kids who maybe don't like novels or aren't big readers. You can dip in and out of that book.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun, fun book. So that, the Atlas Obscura.
Some kids do prefer that nonfiction or that sort of non-linear reading.
Yeah. A sports book this year is Tommy Greenwald. I always like to bring a sports book called Game Changer. Hmm. And it's sort of like older, middle grade, younger YA. And it's about football. The reason I loved Game Changer is the book opens up freshman football player is basically knocked out in practice. Hmm. And it is in a coma for much of the book as a result of the violence that football is. But the book loves football. It's not just taking the easy route of telling you this story of this is a stupid game. Yeah. It's so violent, you know, concussion. The book loves the game, but it's also a snapshot into the parts of this game that are dangerous and bring out our less healthy behaviors, especially in boys and, you know, teenagers and even coaches. But it doesn't not love the game.
Yeah.
So Game Changer by Tommy Greenwald. Really recommend
it. If there's a kid in your life who's a sports fan, give him a thoughtful read to consider.
Yeah. So I could keep going, but I think that's sort of some of the books that that's I'm a great excited list. About
and
this year.
I will definitely type it up and share it out on our blog. And we again thank Lehigh Valley's own Paul Akampora, one of the many great authors living here in the Valley. For recommending his favorite books of the past year and beyond. And I asked Paul what he has coming out next. I guess you don't have a book coming out
soon? Not in 2019, but in 2020, I'll have a novel that is tentatively called Danny Constantino's First Date, about a boy who accidentally gets a date with the girl of his dreams, who's a movie star.
Nice.
And then the year after that, I'll probably have another book out about kids behaving badly.
And in the meantime, you'll be doing a lot of reading.
Yes.
And we'll expect you back here next year to talk about it.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
All right. So look for all those recommendations for your readers in your life. Books make the best gift. I mean, they fit right in a stocking.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. It's always a good time to give a book.
All right. I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Josh.
Bye.
Bye.